B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli, 610-632-0975. 4 o'clock hour, brought to you by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaws-dropping outdoor paradise, online at landisbc.com. And what's going on in the world is still going on in the world, and I'm looking for more wisdom about what we can do going forward to avoid something like this. So I go to a man who has more wisdom than I have about the subject, and that is the Reverend Corey Jones from Tabernacle Baptist Church in Burlington, New Jersey. How are you today, Reverend Jones?
I'm good, sir. How are you doing?
Doing pretty well. Now, everything that's happening in the country, you see it, obviously. You're a black man in the community, separate from being a pastor. What is, if you could just say one thing off the top that could help us avoid this situation again, one thing, whether it's loving each other more. My word of the day today has been listening, how when we're around one another, we don't necessarily listen enough to one another. What's one thing we can do to start with to make things better so we aren't in this position again in another year, 2 years, 3 years, et cetera?
Okay. I think repentance is a critical word. From a spiritual perspective, repentance is more than just forgiveness. It's more than just saying, okay, I'm sorry, or I apologize, or, you know, oh, I didn't mean to cause this kind of trouble or this kind of harm. Repentance is literally a turning away from. It's a turning back to. And so it suggests an acknowledgement that something wrong is happening, something wrong was done. And it doesn't just stop there. It says that there's going to be a self-examination to say, okay, I see the error, I see the issue, and I will do everything in my power to ensure that that does not happen again. So repentance for me is a big word.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. One of the issues, we were talking about the quarterback for the Saints, Drew Brees, who seems like he's been in the league 19 years in a league that's 68% black, and it seems like he hasn't listened to his teammates to even know that there was a problem, to your point right there. So step one, it has to be that we have to acknowledge, one, that there is a problem, and then after that, you can be sorry and address it. But first things first, just acknowledge that it's even real.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a heart issue. It's a heart and a mind issue. I have to tell myself, you know, for instance, if I have a situation where I'm dealing with a family that they abuse one another, the husband abuses the wife abuses the husband, physically, mentally, whatever the case may be. And they come into my office to talk to me about what happens in their household. Most of the time, I would probably guarantee all of the time that the abuse isn't the whole story. It's what causes the abuse. It's the anger issues. It's the resentment. It's the, you know, all of the other stuff that's in their hearts that causes them to abuse one another. And so in this world, we have to acknowledge and look at those issues that cause us, that make us behave in the way that we do. I was sorry to hear about Drew Brees. I thought it was really unfortunate. Sometimes we misconstrue, we misunderstand, we turn a blind eye to, we have our preconceived notions about what people are trying to accomplish when we view them through our own personal lenses. And it kind of looks like he got caught up in that.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why I've been, the word of the day for me has been listening. And you do a lot of, when people do fellowship, when they're with one another, how can we communicate with each other better, in your opinion, Reverend Jones, going forward? Because it seems like there are more voices that don't look like us who are at least acknowledging the problem this time. It seems like in this moment, we have more allies that don't look like us than ever before with this issue. How can we better speak to one another, in your opinion, going forward, so that this can take hold and it doesn't go away in a week or two?
Yeah, I think the main thing you mentioned was clear right there. It's the listening piece. But it's not just the listening piece. It's listening with empathy. In other words, I just don't feel bad for you. I'm able to put myself in your shoes, right? So I'm from South Central LA, born and raised, and, you know, historically we've had our issues with the police. And so for someone, a white person to sit and have a conversation with me, they need to put themselves in my shoes as a black man growing up in South Central LA and understanding the dynamics of what's taking place. You've often heard of it in media and other people who talk about it, the conversation, right, that a black mother and father has to have with their child, right? The police conversation, the keep your hands on the steering wheel conversation, the yes, ma'am, the yes, sir conversation, the move slowly to the glove compartment conversation. And most of my white friends, they don't have to have that conversation with their kids.
Right.
And so it's important for them to listen, to understand, to have some empathy towards the dynamics, the situations, the circumstances, the environment that I have to navigate that they will most likely never have to navigate.
We're speaking to Reverend Corey Jones. There are people call in that are very optimistic. We also, I've had a lot of callers today, some angry, obviously, some also very pessimistic. They say that things can't get better, things won't get better because they haven't gotten, because as far as we've come, we haven't come far enough. Do you think, Reverend, and I have an idea what your answer will be, but I don't know for sure. One, do you truly believe that it is hopeless? And then two, if it's not hopeless, how can we stay encouraged and stay positive as we move past this issue and the riots and the looting and everything?
So what you're speaking to now is a faith dilemma. And yes, I'm a pastor. Yes, I serve a congregation in New Jersey and all of that good stuff. And yes, I've been doing this a long time right now. But there is still a tension that exists within me between hope and hopelessness. Now, my faith leans me toward the hopeful side that things can get better. But I would be lying to you if I said that I didn't live in tension between the hope that things will get better and the hopelessness that things will never get better. Because there's one side of me that says, okay, it's been 401 years.
Right.
Will it ever go away? But then there's the other side of me where I have white colleagues who have said, you know, hey, we're going to preach on the subject of white privilege. We are going to call our congregations to a spirit of repentance. We are going to exercise this demon of racism from our people and from this world. So if I have to lean in a certain direction, it would be on the hope.
You know, I appreciate that real answer. Sometimes I think people think that clergy or a pastor would be perfect. For you to admit that you have that tension as a pastor, I hope that gives some of the people that are listening and watching today an idea of how maybe I would feel, or a person who has not found God, for example, or has that kind of peace feels. People are clearly walking around with a lot all the time. And I understand there are people who have said, oh, this last week has been uncomfortable. And I've been trying to explain, well, for us, it's uncomfortable almost all the time. I think you're you know what I mean? Like that tension that you're talking about, we have all the time. And other people just seem to get it for this last week. And already they can't stand it. Imagine what it's like living our whole lives like that.
Oh, man, absolutely. I mean, I could go down the list from flying standby on a plane as a teenager in Louisiana, being placed on the back of an empty plane. The back of an empty plane.
Wow.
Because I was black. Or when being at the LA County Fair, they had a little white girl go in front of me on a ride, told me to stop and allow her to go when she was in the back of the line. They had it printed on the money, save our land, join the Klan. I've been called the N-word on the baseball field. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And until people can live in those shoes, that empathetic view that I can see where you're coming from, where I can put myself in your shoes and I can come to a place of repentance and acknowledgement of your pain and that it's real and that it exists. And that it's present, that's the only way.
Well, Reverend Jones, I want to thank you so much for your time. Great words. Stay encouraged out there. I know I'll try to stay encouraged. I think you informed some people. You helped some people today. Thanks so much. Stay safe and enjoy the rest of your day.
Hey, thank you, my friend. I appreciate you.
All right. That's Pastor Corey Jones from Tabernacle Baptist Church in Burlington, New Jersey. If anybody is, again, you can Google that church if you want to find it. Interesting that a pastor had to admit that he also has that tension. I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
I didn't know. It's not like I prepped him for that answer. That's tough.
Yeah, it's a hard thing. I mean, we're all still human. Regardless of what you choose to do, we're all humans with emotions that we have to sort through this.
Yeah. Yeah, going forward. But that tension, if he's having it. But he did say that he's still more on the side of hopefulness. And I think that we should all try to be hopeful going forward.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
We should all try to be. 610-632-0975. Let's get back to the phones. Ike in Montgomery County. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity.
No, thank you.
I've been listening, and there's a lot I've wanted to say, but I won't. I just want to point this out. I only called because of what Drew Brees said and how uninformed and how unintelligent his statement is. From my perspective, when I look at the flag, I look at a symbol that clearly represents the hypocrisy for which this country stands for. When you look at the Pledge of Allegiance, which we were taught from the time we were kids,
mm-hmm.
it says one nation under God with liberty and justice for all.
For all, yes.
Well, that's a you-know-what. And with that said, I think his comment represents the major demographic in this country. When I look at your 43% that states that he doesn't have to apologize.
Right.
Well, all right, I respect them if they stand on that. And I'll just end it with this. One, I'm very pessimistic. I've lived through this. I've had similar experiences like your pastor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any change. Don't see it happening. And with that said,
wow.
Bye.
All right, Ike. Man, Ike is pessimistic. And I'm trying to avoid that, though. There is still hope. We're still, like, waking up for a reason. It's sad when he has that kind of attitude. It's sad. But just because Drew Brees, even if the majority agree with Drew Brees, that doesn't make it right. The majority has been wrong in America or anywhere a lot of times.
Yeah.
I've dealt with where it's 10 people. If they're 10 idiots, I'm still right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if right is right.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Many times it's not really about who's right. It's about what's right.
Exactly.
What's right
exactly.
is way, way more important than who's right.
Always.
So what's right is the question. And Drew Brees' answer, and the reason everybody, I think, was been so up in arms about it is it just completely lacked. It was as if he's never met a black person.
Yeah.
Like when he gave that answer. You know what I mean? There was nothing in there where he said, I understand the struggles of. There was nothing. It was just my grandfather and then yippee skippy, my mama and my daddy. And like, it was nothing about anything in the world other than him.
The disconnect was so evident, and the goal is to connect.
Yeah, and he just didn't want to.
And he didn't want to. He didn't try to. He didn't try to connect. He didn't even attempt.
But he's had to have seen that same video that everybody else has seen. He's had to have seen the same video that everybody else has seen.
Yeah.
So unless he didn't.
Unless he didn't. Unless he didn't want to watch it.
Well, he had to have seen the rioting. He's had to have seen the looting and the peaceful. He's had to have seen that.
I mean, is
he not aware why
again,
people would be doing that?
If his headspace is in that place of disconnect, then he might just think this is what goes on in the outside world. This is not what goes on in Drew Brees' world. Drew Brees lives on planet Brees.
But the tough part is, I keep hearing about, I see on social media, they say, oh, he's given money and he's done more. They don't know how to measure this. He's done more for the inner city in New Orleans than anybody. They have no idea how to measure that. I wonder, is he writing checks? And he has been generous with his money. But is he actually going there and doing the deeds? Is he listening to people on the ground in the inner city of New Orleans? Or is he writing checks and playing for the Saints? While you get what I'm saying? Because Miles Jenkins was in the city talking to the people. The way Drew came off, it's as if he's written a bunch of checks.
Yeah, he lives on his own planet where he thinks that that's enough.
Yeah, but he clearly, his answer doesn't seem like, forget his teammates, and I've named a bunch of them at the top of the show. Has he even listened to people that live in New Orleans?
Right.
Or have struggled in New Orleans? Because none of them would have the same cookie cutter meaning for things that he did.
Right.
That stereotypical, hey, this is the, like he just went. It was almost like it was a written spiel. Well, new things happen, Drew. New information should make your mind evolve some, at least do that worldview versus the current worldview and work them out. Work out why this is happening, yet you have this idealistic view. Explain to me why your view is the right view. But by doing that, you would have to acknowledge my view. Instead, he just said his view. Yep. You know what I mean? It's just odd. Very odd. Jeff, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hi, everyone. I hope you're doing well today.
We are doing pretty good today, Jeff. Trying to have good conversations this week.
Well, I just want to tell you guys, I think you're doing an excellent job without sports. So
thank you. Trying.
As far as the Drew Brees thing goes, I was first a little upset when Kaepernick kneeled as well because I didn't understand. But I surely did understand after that, and I definitely understand now. And I put a little something on social media that I was trying to help other people understand because there's a lot of people out there who just don't get it.
All right.
That kneeling has nothing to do with being against the military or those who have died for our country. The kneeling is a peaceful protest about freedom and equality for everyone, which is also what our flag stands for. Unfortunately, not everyone is treated like they are equal or free, and that's the problem. Change starts within, so let's stop arguing about each other's opinions on situations and start listening and respecting each other's opinions. Maybe then we can learn from each other and create change for the betterment of our country.
That's good, Jeff. You put that on your social media. I feel bad for you because you're going to get people on your Facebook telling you how you're anti-America and you don't support the blue, and you're going to get all that backlash, and I feel bad. But that's a great point right there. You mentioned the listening part. And if people feel like in America that they're less than, if they have that opinion that they're being treated like they're less than, what are they supposed to do to let others know about it? You know what I mean? Like, if you can't do a peaceful protest, you know what you get? You get what you've gotten the last week. Like, it's almost like a lot of people just want people to accept their lot in life and be silent about it.
Right. If it's not going to happen peaceful and silent, people are going to get loud.
Yes. You're absolutely right, Jeff. And that was a good post, but I do feel bad for his Facebook page now.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, you're right.
Oh, you don't support the blue. What are you talking about? Why didn't you write about the buildings like that? Why are you only talking about the people?
Yeah.
Facebook, Twitter's bad. Facebook's worse.
Facebook is an abomination.
It's the worst.
It's the worst.
And you can, like Twitter, you don't really lose friends on Twitter because not all your Twitter people are your friends.
Yeah.
Facebook, a lot more of them are people you personally know.
Yeah. Right.
Nothing is more disappointing than you finding out some person you kind of knew or somebody you really knew is a moron 20 years later.
Right.
That's the worst. It's one thing if some rando, all right, he's muted, he's blocked. What kind of, like you see something stupid and I go, which one am I in? Am I in a mute mood?
Right.
Or block me.
Right.
I don't know, but I don't know this guy from it. I don't know him.
Yeah.
It's when, oh man, I went to high school with this guy. We were on the same track team. And now
we hung out together.
Right. We hung out at the Mart spot. That was a place in Pensacola we would go to. We hung out at the Mart spot. And now gotta say goodbye.
Right.
Gotta say goodbye. Cause I can't have this.
Yeah, I mean, that's what a lot of people are saying, that you're realizing the true colors of a lot of people that you know. And that's something, again, that you have to, like, internalize and resonate with and kind of decide how you're going to proceed for the better.
Yeah, it's tough. John and Bryn Mawr, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, Tyrone, how are you?
What's up, John?
You know, my neighbor who lives a couple doors down I was telling you about?
Yeah.
Philly's guy?
Yeah.
He just had this, like, 15-foot gate installed in front of his property and his driveway. He's just being a monster.
Well, baseball, I'd say he is part of the problem. The owners with this 50 games and all that kind of stuff, not great. But, I mean, I don't want no one should do anything to John Middleton. Protect that man if he has to put up a fence.
Yeah, no, he's good. No one bothers him.
Yeah, I don't want anybody bothering the owner of the Phillies. But the owners of Major League Baseball, they're not listening to the fans because the fans wanted 4th of July baseball, and they've already botched that because we're already at the 3rd, the 4th of June. No way there's a game 4th of July weekend.
No way.
A complete botched job by them. And if the NBA has a dribble before there's a first pitch, and the NHL has a first shift before there's a first pitch, I don't want them coming back at all. I just see it next year.
It's going to be such a joke. It's going to be such a joke. Hey, what I was calling for, though, Tyrone, how are things going to change? Like, these protests and parades and marches and all that stuff, that's great, and everybody means well, but we as citizens have to do something. Like, call our local whoever and just keep harassing them, because, you know, that caller, a few calls before, who said, even if every NFL player got on their knee, this still would have happened. He's right to a certain degree, because when we all say, oh yeah, and we're aware that it's going on, but for most people, it stops there. Like, somebody else will do it. Somebody else will do it.
I hear you,
but who do we contact?
If 32 cities, it's in their face every single Sunday. Everybody, 32 cities. Then I believe people would then take action. I think that whether we like it or not, those pro athletes are leaders. And
you think they would all do it though?
No. This was a hypothetical that the caller brought up. He said if every player on every team kneeled every week of the entire season, that means
would definitely make a difference.
Yeah, 32 cities would have to. It would be in their face every single Sunday. There would absolutely be young people, absolutely young people who would then catch on and absolutely try to do some action off of that. If that actually happened, that level of unity from people look up to pro athletes. They just do. They would absolutely respond. There would end up being some organization from that. And while people would complain at first, they're still going to watch their football.
Right.
Like, that particular year was a year where it was one of the first years where there was cord cutting. That whole term came in that particular year.
Yes.
So every rating went down. NFL's went down less than everybody else's, which means that they were still winning.
Right.
Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, last year, I think they said, like, there were 8 of the top 10 TV shows were football games in 2019.
Yeah.
Like, 8 of the top 10 TV shows. People want to watch their football. If everybody had that kind of unity, it would absolutely, in my opinion, lead to organized things outside of that, if they did it, to that caller. So that's why I'm not at that level of pessimism yet.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Do you think the NFL, remember last year they had a fine?
Yes.
For those who did kneel during the national anthem?
Yep.
That's got to be gone this year, right?
With all these statements that they've said, yeah. But now there was a story in Athletic I saw. It was by Bo Wolf. And there's been a lot of writing. Inquirer, NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com, The Athletic. Locally, kudos to all the local writers. I hope that all of you support local writing. I think the written word is still important. Obviously, we speak here for a living. The written word to me is still important. Newspapers going out of business and stuff, not good at this time. They're providing information for us, so I support all those outlets, by the way. But he thinks that the Eagles and a lot of teams in the NFL skirted the issue. This was written by Bo Wolf. He doesn't think that they said they were strong enough in what they said that the teams did the way that the players have been. Like, Tobias Harris hits a grand slam. He's saying the Eagles hit like a single. Because they're not really addressing the issue because they're still trying to do a catch-all thing.
Right.
They don't want to offend anybody.
But, yeah.
You know what I mean? And
yeah.
A lot of the teams are making these statements, including the Eagles. And while I'm not saying they're not thoughtful, they're a little too thoughtful. It's like, how can I address it but not say anything that would bother even one person so we don't even lose one cent?
Well, and in my opinion, I feel like this is the NFL's biggest nightmare, because they just tried to make this go away.
That's all they did was
try and make it go away, and didn't work.
Did not work.
Tried everything to make it go away in any way that they possibly could.
They can affect a lot of things. They have not. Well, maybe they can change society, but they chose to punt on changing society.
Yep.
When one of their players was, some of their players was trying to change society. And you know what society did? Society went and societied. Yeah. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli, 610-632-0975. Now it's time to update our Twitter poll, and that's brought to you by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie?
Thanks, Ty. Over 2,500 votes on this one today. Do you believe Drew Brees needed to apologize? 56% say yes, 44% say no.
So it's getting tighter.
Close, yeah.
It's getting tighter. I would like to hear from more of those people today, though. I just want to hear from them. I want to hear their perspective. Like, what? Why do they think it's good to ignore 19 years worth of teammates? Like, because that's basically what he did. Why is that okay? Or is there another reason why they think he shouldn't have apologized? I want to hear more from people.
Well,
some people early were saying, well, he shouldn't apologize because that's how he felt.
Right. There's a part of me that wonders if how much he's been held accountable for throughout his life, accountability, and is if he's used to being challenged in that way to admit that he's wrong. I have to wonder, and he has incredible athletic ability that gets you places.
No, it does.
That gets you a pass at a lot of things in life.
Yeah.
Regardless.
Star in college at Purdue.
He was
the first pick of the second round.
Yeah. I mean, I have to wonder.
Quarterback for a long time now.
Yeah. I have to wonder what he's had to be held accountable for in his life where, you know, he's had to truly do some deep thinking about his beliefs and if anybody has ever called him out.
Yeah.
On them. And now, you know, he might have thought, I'm going to say this. This is how I feel. I'm not going to. And that'll be that. And then the reaction, it was like, no. This is not it. Well, this ain't it.
He got dunked on. See, he made that comment when people didn't have stuff to do. There were all kinds of people dunking on him. All other sports, role players talking bad about him.
Right. Because that opinion that he had, I mean, whatever. But that was kind of a popular opinion when the Kaepernick thing first went down.
Yeah,
so he
I don't think he recognized
that's
world
not,
changed a little bit there, buddy.
Right. Like, yeah. And I mean, I have to wonder if he's ever had to truly sit down and think about, you know, himself.
Yeah. And also during the season, people didn't have as much time to take him to task about what he said at the time.
Yeah.
So, all right.
My problem is with the people that say he doesn't need to apologize. Like, I mean, we've had a couple calls that he was wrong.
But he didn't need
to apologize for his opinion.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people that say, oh, he doesn't need to apologize. How many of those people say, shut up and dribble a couple of years ago. Right?
Yeah.
Or stick to sports.
Right.
Or that kind of stuff.
Right.
Where it's a specific type of person can speak out on that kind of stuff, whereas another group of people can't.
Yeah, that's going viral. That's the particular example of that is going viral.
Yes.
I'll try to stay away from that. But yes,
I know.
Yes, it is interesting who's allowed to speak,
right,
and who's not allowed to speak to certain people. Like,
so I wonder in the group that says you don't have to, Drew Brees doesn't have to apologize.
Mm-hmm.
What's that percentage saying?
Yeah, before it was shut up and dribble. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So we need to hear from some more people. That's a good point. Yes. Yes.
Because we have had the call that said he didn't need to apologize.
Right.
Even though he was wrong.
Right. So, Yeah, we'll dig deeper the next time someone says that. Tom in the Northeast, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hi, Ty. How are you doing?
What's up, Tom?
First of all, I would like to put myself on the hopeful side.
Good.
And there's a couple reasons for it. Been around quite a while, 75 years.
Yep.
So I've seen a thing or two.
You have.
And I have 4 kids and 10 grandchildren.
Wow.
And I could see that they are very, very different on the way they look at things. And that the way they deal with people of all colors and all different religions.
Right.
And I like to think my wife and I had something to do with that.
Of course.
Because you definitely we had a conversation with them.
Yeah, you should take some credit for that. You got 10 grandkids, 4 kids, and they're all doing well. You absolutely deserve a lot of credit, Tom.
Okay. Now, the other thing is, I would say only 40 or 50 years ago, you and Natalie would not be where you are right now.
Absolutely. Less 20 years ago, we wouldn't be where we are.
5 years ago.
And 50 years ago, Andrew would not be there just because he's Lithuanian.
Yeah.
And so we have, it's not fast enough, but I have seen us move. And I think we will move forward, and we will move faster, and we will overcome this thing.
You know what, Tom? You have wisdom. You're an older gentleman. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe you. I have to admit things are better. Absolutely, things are better. And the fact that there's been so many, I mentioned it with the pastor, so many allies that don't look like me that have stepped up this particular time, something shifted from Kaepernick to now. What it was, I don't know. Or was it a residual Obama thing where I'm talking about, like, if there are younger people that maybe weren't active 4 years ago or 3.5 years ago that are now active a couple years later? I don't know what it is, but something changed. This one's different for whatever reason. I don't know why it's different, but this one's different. Maybe the pandemic had to happen to make people move on this particular subject. Maybe being stuck in the house and not having anything to distract them caused it. Whatever it was, this does feel different and does provide hope. And the fact that all 4 cops have been arrested, and then they started the Aubrey, the discovery for the trial.
Oh, my goodness.
That's been bad. So maybe if some justice. And now they reopen Breonna Taylor's case because those officers have only been on administrative leave. They haven't gotten in any real trouble. It feels different. And if this could be step one, maybe the goal should be to never have this conversation again. And it all goes back to listening. Demetrius in Camden, you're on 97.5 Fanatic.
Hey, Tyrone, Nat, and Andrew, how y'all doing?
What's going on, Demetrius?
I can't call it, man. I'd like to thank y'all first for using y'all platform to try to, you know, to get this conversation moving forward, first and foremost.
Thank you. I think it's our responsibility in these times when this is the biggest thing going in the world and in the city.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. Like, everyone has to be uncomfortable right now. I don't care what stance you have. You have to feel uncomfortable right now because this conversation has to happen. Right. Drew Brees, in my opinion, he dropped the ball to use his influence to be able to change the minds of some people who do think like him. Because, like you say, he made it about himself. He didn't make it about, you know, the black soldiers that fought alongside of his grandfather and came home and still had to fight at home. And people that looked like Drew Brees didn't stand up for him.
Absolutely. He didn't bring that up at all. He just talked about like this nice little, he basically tried to act like everything was perfect while there's little riots in his city. He was just pretending like everything was just perfect. It was very odd.
It was very odd. And the crazy thing, I had a white friend of mine that I met at college, at Stockton College, and he called me. Like, he didn't text me. He called me just to ask, was I okay? And, like, that touched me. Try not to get a little emotional, but that touched me in a different way because, like, I always knew where he stood, and I just don't understand how everybody else can't see it.
It's a good point. Real fast, Demetrius, because I don't want you to run out of time.
Yes,
your
sir.
Friend felt the need to reach out. Doesn't this time, for whatever reason, feel a little different than the previous times?
He does, because I guess with age, you know, you get wiser, and he's seen everything that's happening and the injustices and all the black young people who have been murdered by police, and they get off or they get off very lightly. And he understood, like, I could just, like, his heart is just in the right place, and he gets it.
Yeah, absolutely, Demetrius, and I appreciate the call. Yeah, it feels different. I've had a number of my white friends reach out to me the last week to check on me if I'm okay. I've also had my black friends commend me not because I'm tearing up on the radio, that I've been able to talk about it. There's been a lot of people who have not been able to talk about it. And I admit it, yesterday there was it was weighing on me. It was heavy to have to talk about this stuff 4 hours a day. It was tough. Well, it's been tough. But I feel like if I'm asking others to be uncomfortable, like you guys, then I have to be willing to be uncomfortable at the same time. So it's been tense. But a lot of friends have reached out. This just feels different. And I think that if we do enough listening, which is like I'm still going to try to be hopeful, things will get better.
Well, and the world's listening now too. All those protests all over the world. Paris.
There was a one today in Austria.
Yes, Austria.
Austria is chanting for George Floyd. Like this is different. It's different. It just is. 610-632-0975. Word of the day: listening, 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 listening. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. 610-632-0975. What is so funny in there?
Yeah. I just think of Step Brothers.
Here we go. Think of Step Brothers.
Yeah, during the song sometimes. Remember when they get the room in the bunk beds?
Yeah.
And then he goes, this is how we do it. Da, 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 da,
yeah, but
da,
this
da.
Is not. This
I know, I know. But the beat got me. Yeah. I thought that's what it was at first. And then I saw what it was.
Extra room for activities.
Yes. So many room for activities.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
I was just wondering. That's fine.
Just sometimes I think of things and I laugh.
That was one of the first things I did when the pandemic started.
What?
We were bored. We're like, what do we do? I was like, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah.
So we watched Step Brothers.
You had never seen it?
No, I had seen it, but it was like one of the first things that we had.
You went and watched it.
Yes.
I thought you and Christy built bunk beds.
No.
Built your own bunk beds. That would have been funny.
Bless you, by the way.
Thank you.
For the people on TV.
Yeah. That's less than awesome. Because I never sneezed once.
You just sneezed?
Yes.
I missed it.
Threes or fours. I never sneeze once.
Yeah, no.
You have to sneeze multiple times.
Yeah, I'm not a one sneezer.
Yeah, I can't.
Oh,
sneeze.
Really?
Never.
I'm a single sneezer.
Really?
Never sneezed.
I think so. Yeah.
I've never sneezed once in my entire life. It's always three or four.
Really?
Every time.
Wonder why that is. I think I max generally at two sneezes.
I'm very
maybe
jealous.
You're more of a powerful sneezer and you get it all out.
No, I have like that like weak sneeze.
Oh. I don't know.
I have a weak sneeze. I don't know.
I don't know. All right, Dave in Center City, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, I'm Tyrone.
What's up, Dave?
Burr Jones, thank you for the diplomatic and cavalier way of handling matters, but I have a better solution. Any law officers that are perpetrators, any DAs or judges that are proven to cover up or sugarcoat this, we should have a public stoning of them televised at City Hall, and the stone throwers are family of the victims. I'm sorry to go barbaric, but I think that would put an end to it, Tyrone.
I hear you. Not realistic, but I do hear you. But the point of looking at every part of the system and making sure that there is no mechanism for cover-ups, that is something that that should be looked into. And that doesn't matter if you're white or black. There are a lot of people out there who don't think that police can properly police the police.
Well, Johnny Cochran said that. Who polices the police? Club Tyrone, I just woke up. Ray Beck and Miss Eganoff pointed out we got NBA basketball. Is yes. that going to, are there fans? We're undefeated at home.
No fans down in Disney World, July 31st, and testing starts June 22nd. Tough part is going to be the testing part, because apparently in the University of Alabama, five players have tested positive for the virus since they've returned. That first month and all those initial tests that the players got. Now, remember, NBA, a lot of those players were tested back in March.
Yeah.
Got shut down in the first place. That initial test would be the number one thing about adjusting this, and the fact that Florida just had their highest day of cases in so far.
All right, let's assume all the planets are aligned correctly.
Okay.
There's nobody is asymptomatic or symptomatic. Everybody's fit as a fiddle.
Yeah, everybody can play.
The Sixers benefit by this? I don't even know what the format is. Or do we? Can we steal a title, or was it better the conventional way?
They can steal a title. They could steal it. Lay it out like that. They could steal a title. All right. Bucks come back. You got the Greek Freak and the Pips. One of the Pips, because none of those guys are great players. Lopez, somebody's missing a lot of threes. So you take them out. Greek Freak can't do it alone. You saw that last year when they played against Toronto.
Yep.
If you can, and they have, between Horford and Embiid and Simmons, they have guys that will make it tough for him. If the supporting cast doesn't step up, you can beat them. I'm saying, can it happen? Not will it happen. I think the Bucks are a problem, but can they do it? Okay. So let's lay out that scenario in that. After the layoff, the supporting cast around the Greek Freak does a poor job. Check. Sixers guys come back better. Check. Game does slow down like everybody expects, and now all of a sudden being huge and having all these big players makes a big difference. Check that. And then Shake Milton can still play. That's what would have to happen.
The Pips?
Yeah.
Furkan has to hit a few threes here and there.
I don't think he plays. I think Shake's the one making those threes. Yeah. I think you have your starting five. I think Horford is off the bench. Shake's starting in this scenario.
Okay.
And making buckets. So then Horford's one man off the bench. And then it's Burks and Robinson. No
Korkmaz.
No, that's my eight. If I have to go to nine, it's Mike Scott.
Wow.
They use Korkmaz
so much this year. That's a thing. Brett relied on Korkmaz.
Do you trust him to play NBA defense?
No, but
that's my issue. And I think for them to win, they're going to have to do that bully ball thing.
Right.
And Shake's going to have to be your primary shooter. And Tobias is going to have to make stuff like that. I just don't know if I can trust. I think you got to clamp guys down.
Right.
And I don't know if you can do that with him on the floor. I would like to be, if he's lights out, you can. But, I mean, he has to be lights out against playoff defense.
Right. Yeah, he has to be like Redick.
Right. He has to be lights out against tough Bucks defense. They were like the number one defense and offense. Like, with guys really guarding him, can he get that shot off and make 40% of those threes? If he can, then you can live with the defense.
With them, yeah.
But if he can't, if it's 30%, you can't live with them because of the other end of the court.
Right. And you know, it was interesting when Mark Zumoff was on with you earlier today talking about how to handle those last eight games.
Yeah.
Like, do you use them as experimental games, or do you use them as trying to move up in the standings?
Right.
That's very interesting. Because if you're the Lakers and the Bucks, I think the Bucks have a six game lead.
Yeah, they're not going to lose.
Lakers are like 5.5.
Yeah.
They can go 3-5, and they still got the one seed.
Right.
I wonder how other teams, like the teams that are, like, do the Celtics try to go on a run?
Do the Celtics, do the Pacers?
Right, the Celtics are three back of the Raptors. Like, do the Celtics go, hey, we have a chance to go up to two.
And that, right, because that's another way to, well, 2 and 3 is sort of the same when it comes to playing the Bucks.
Right.
So I don't know. Do you want to be, does it matter if you're two?
Good point.
Does it, like, if the Sixers, if it's 6 or 5, would you rather be 6 to avoid the Bucks?
Right.
Or do you want to be 5? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, because there's the talk, well, they can get up to 4. All right, well, there's no home court.
Right, so.
And they still play the Bucks around 2.
I think you just experiment. Make sure everybody's healthy. I'm playing everybody. I'm ramping it up. The first two games, my starter's playing 20-some minutes.
Okay.
And then by the end, I ramp them up to 30-some, regardless of the opponent.
So you're using it tune-up, almost.
Yeah. I'm using it as a tune-up, and then let the chips fall where they fall. So I'll experiment a little bit. Shake, you start. All right. That, if that works, we'll ride with it. If not, all right, we got to go back to the veteran.
Right.
Don't worry. You'll still be, you know, you keep his confidence. Can Burke and Robinson actually work? They really didn't get enough time.
And they didn't.
And one guy was saying, I don't know my role. And the other
guy. Within 3 minutes.
Yeah, like, I don't know my role. You've been here 10 seconds, man. You just got off the plane.
Yeah, Glenn Robinson III rubbed me the wrong way there. And both of them. Alec Burks didn't want to be traded.
He didn't want to be traded.
Alec Burks was upset coming to a contender.
Because he was playing a lot of minutes. And he thought he could get more. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But if he has a playoff minute, and then meanwhile, Shake went and took all their minutes.
Right.
There you go, my guy, Shake.
Oh, by the way, because Dave was bringing up Club Tyrone. Yeah. Justin Anderson was Club Tyrone, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, because we did a playback earlier today with Anthony, and Justin Anderson was brought up. But
my guy, Justin Anderson.
He was one of the founding members, right?
Yeah, he was a start.
I think due to the pandemic, though, that Club Tyrone will be closing down.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
For good?
I think it might be closing
down. Well, he let in too many people for free. That's why.
Yeah, and I might be shutting it down for good. I'll let everybody know tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah,
maybe. No, you can't. Yeah, you can't shut down.
I could.
You can't.
We're having trouble. Dang. It's tough out there in these streets. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Word of the day, listening. Drew Brees. And going forward, we have to do a better job listening to one another. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson, in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.